This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جاءت وسهلا وأنت تجل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا رب الكريم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته MashaAllah, جزاكم الله خير. It's wonderful to see so many people, so many old faces, so many new faces, alhamdulillah, from both the brothers and the sisters. And alhamdulillah, this is the first and opening session, or the introduction, to Kitab al-Salah, which is, of course, the main book that we will cover from Zad al-Mustaqi'. It is the fiqh text that we're going through, nice and slow and steady, in detail, to make sure that we learn Adeen the proper way. And alhamdulillah, we finished off the 3 years covering Kitab al-Tahara, which is the book of purification. And so I will talk a little bit about this, inshallah, in the next few moments. But alhamdulillah, as you know, whenever we have a major moment in our class, then we always invite our Sheikh Abdul Ghaffar to recite some Quran and some ayat al-munasibah, yani those verses which are relevant to the particular study that we are doing. And so Sheikh will recite two portions today, inshallah, with my translation, and that will be from Surah Maryam. And I hope that you can listen and imbibe the meaning of these verses. Jazakum Allah khair.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wadhkur fil kitabi Isma'il. إنه كان صادق الوعد وكان رسولا نبيا وكان يأمر أهله بالصلاة والزكاة وكان عند ربه مرضيا واذكر في الكتاب إدريس إنه كان صديقا نبيا ورفعناه مكانا عليا أولئك الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين من ذرية آدم وممن حملنا مع نوح ومن ذرية إبراهيم وإسرائيل وممن هدينا واجتبينا إذا تتلى عليهم آيات الرحمن خروا سجدا وبكيا فخلف من بعدهم خلف أضاعوا الصلاة واتبعوا الشهوات فسوف يلقون غيا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا فأولئك يدخلون الجنة ولا يظلمون شيئا جنات عدن التي وعد الرحمن عباده بالغيب إنه كان وعده مأتيا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا إلا سلاما ولهم رزقهم فيها بكرة وعشيا تلك الجنة التي نورث من عبادنا من كان تقيا.
And these were the prophets that God blessed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed from the seed of Adam alayhi salam, and of those that we carried in the ark with Noah, and from the seed of Ibrahim and Israel, and those that we guided and chose. When the revelations of the Lord of mercy were recited to them, they fell to their knees and wept. But there came after them generations who neglected prayer and were driven by their own desires. These will come face to face with their evil. But those who repent, who believe, who do righteous deeds, will enter paradise. They will be not wronged in the least. They will enter the gardens of lasting bliss, promised by the Lord of mercy to his servants. it is not yet seen, but truly his promise will be fulfilled. There they will hear only peaceful talk, nothing bad. There they will be given provision morning and evening. That is the garden we shall give as their own to those of our servants who are devout.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون.
Indeed, how prosperous are the believers, those who pray humbly, who shun idle talk, who pay the prescribed alms, who guard their chastity, except with their spouses or those their own. With these they are not to blame, but anyone who seeks more than this is exceeding the limits. They are those who are faithful to their trusts and pledges, and who keep up their prayers, and they will rightly be given paradise as their own, there to remain forever. Okay, alhamdulillah. So, again, we thank Sheikh Abdul Ghaffar. Al-Hafidhahullah ta'ala wa ra'ah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and to increase him in his knowledge and his recitation of the book. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make an evidence for him and not against him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow this Quran that he recites to raise him in his status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, which is authentic, rise and increase rising with the way that you recite the Quran. And it's a reminder for us to increase on our recitation of the Quran. So, alhamdulillah, Kitab al-Salah, obviously we are covering a book of fiqh. We have a lot of people here, a lot of people, of course, who are those who started 3 years ago, and then those that continued. Many people then, you know, tailed off. And to be honest, I don't blame anyone tailing off, considering the amount of detail that we went into Kitab al-Tahara. You see, you would have thought, if you're new to studying fiqh, Islamic law, then you would have thought that you start by the most important things. And actually, they don't come more important in fiqh than the prayer. However, of course, it's not possible to pray without purifying yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O you who believe, when you stand up for prayer, then wash your faces and your hands until your elbows, and so on and so forth. So it's clear that before you pray, you have to wash yourselves. And so that's why always when you study law, you will always start with the chapter of purification. And as you've seen for the last 3 years, purification is no small matter. It's a huge subject and it covers so many things. Those actual items that we can use, or that products or substances that we can use to purify ourselves, the nature of water and the different types of dirt, and the concepts of other products which might clean. And then the process of cleaning. How does one clean an area? How does one clean one's clothes? How does one clean oneself in a minor way and in the major way? Is there a concept of physical impurity and a spiritual impurity? Yes, what's the difference between them? And so on. And then you have the specific states. You have the impurity that one obtains or one falls into when they go to sleep, or when they go to the toilet, or when they have marital relations. And then, of course, those which are female specific, such as menstruation and postpartum bleeding, and so on and so forth. And these are huge subjects that have required a lot of detail. And alhamdulillah, bifadlillah, we covered that over the last 3 years. And this is a class, as you know, which is not like what we would cover in a weekend seminar, where we choose the most important parts and put it into a nice package which we can present over a weekend or two weekends. And I think that that's a very important tool that we have in the box to make sure that we propagate this religion to the widest possible audience. But Islam has classically and traditionally always been taught this way that we're actually studying right now. And I've made it a very clear point that despite many pressures, and the kind of pressure what I mean is where the class falls down to only a few people, because the nature of going through the classical way is that it is long, and that it is slow, and that it is detailed, and that we would look at the Arabic even though you don't understand it, but of course we're explaining the words and translating them and explaining what they mean, and so that shouldn't inhibit anyone. But by everyone's nature, when something is longed out, people start to fall by the wayside. And so I want you to know that this isn't where I have researched the subject and put it forward to you and speaking from my own self. No, we are being very, very clear about the methodology that we are using. We take a classical essay or fiqh text, a matan is called in Arabic, and we take that actual text and we use a commentary of another scholar to actually explain what that text means. However, because both are in Arabic, and because both are what we would consider at the scholarly level, you need someone else to unlock the commentary, to unlock the original text, and that's my role. And so what I will do is I will explain the commentary to the actual text itself, hopefully by that aiming for to make you understand the subject very well. This is an informal class, it's a very legal and very classical class, but it's an informal style class, meaning that we take questions within the class and so on. And those that are regulars to this lesson and have been following LP for years, they will know that, you know, these first few lessons are the most irritating, because, you know, this is where everyone's taught the kind of the basics and whatever, and the old students have heard this so many times. So I'd ask you guys to bear with it. I know that it sounds boring and irritating, but you were all beginners once as well 3 years ago, and we had to do it. And so I will, inshallah, in this session also introduce you to the portal. I know that people are watching us on Facebook Live at the moment, and of course that will have its own problems. Actually, not only just the connection, because it's based upon a Wi-Fi connection, and the fact that it doesn't have our virtual classroom, so you're only seeing what you're seeing in front. Whereas if you're watching this class, as you should be, either here in front of me now in the masjid, which is of course the correct adab, the correct method if you're local, and I encourage the sisters who are only in a very local area to do that, those that need to travel, I encourage them to use the online portal instead. But then those that are joining us from around the world, and there are many, alhamdulillah, by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when you use logicalprogression.org, the URL, the actual site itself, and you sign in, then not only do you get the video in the right way, and everyone who's standing, who's here, can see the screen and what it looks like, you'll not only be able to see the video in the correct way and in the correct format, it's a 1080p, very nice, high quality, but you'll also be able to see the Arabic text that we're taking from, you'll also be able to see the English text that we're reading from, and you're also able to simultaneously write your notes as well. Anything that you find interesting, anything that you didn't understand, then you write. And that system therefore allows everyone of different levels to do whatever they want. There are some people who don't even look at the English translation, they don't write any single thing down, but what they're doing is just reading along with their own mind, with their own eyes, they're following the Arabic text that they have at home or on the screen, and just listening to my explanation to see whether I say something which is new or different to what they already know. That will be the advanced student of knowledge. And then you've got those folks which are so basic that they don't know what the Arabic text means, they can't look at it, can't read it, but they know that I'm referring to the English text and explaining it. So the portal is where it's at, it's got something for everyone, and I really encourage everyone that found it difficult to stay with us for the last 3 years to make this effort for this chapter particularly. And that's for a few reasons. The first reason is that Kitab al-Salah is covering the single most important act of worship that we have. And I'll just stop there for now. The second reason is that as a subject goes, it's actually really easy. And anyone who studies law and studies the intricacies of fiqh and differences of opinion, you'll actually find that when it comes to purification or transactions or a few of these other kind of, you know, weird and wonderful subjects or sub areas, they're actually quite tricky. And sometimes to explain it is not easy, especially if the subject itself is using measurements and concepts which are ancient. So for example, when we're talking about trying to understand a mode of cleaning or washing or bathing or whatever, then all the time we're thinking about our modern, you know, reality of limitless water, showers, taps, liters and things like this. And whereas with the prayer, there's no change in what happened then until what happened now. The prayer has been preserved exactly. There's no such thing as the Iraqi kind of measurement of the prayer versus the Medinan measurement of the prayer. And that's a reference, of course, to the use of volumes in the chapter of using of measuring food and so on. And so I'm just saying that as an actual subject to follow and understand is something very, very important. And the third reason is, other than its importance and other than its ease, is its relevancy. Every single aspect of Kitab al-Salah is relevant. It happens right away. What you learn, you apply straight away. And one of the blessings of this actual chapter, being able to put it in straight away, is that if you use a good enough commentary, then the commentator, even though it's a legal fact, and there's no right actually to find a heart softener or to find something spiritual in a book of law. There's no right. That's not what you're there for. You're there to go and get a job done. It's not meant to be an enjoyable process. It's meant to be rote memorization and learning and so on and so forth. But hopefully if it's done right, and especially if the commentator does it right, then you'll be able to almost kind of like squeeze out some of those more heartfelt and more, I guess, deeper understandings of the actions, the wisdoms, the rulings, and the like. And so this is something which I hope that you will pick up on, and hopefully you will take part in. So inshallah, a little bit later, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a... do you have that, Shaz, the on the iPad, like I said to you, the website?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to just show you what the actual website looks like, because there are, as I said, so many people, and it's a good opportunity for us to give you kind of a general idea. Now, those who are online will be able to see it on their screen, but I've just for the sake of Facebook, I don't think this is going to come across very well. It's not very... okay, that's good. So once you're into the actual screen, are you showing the main screen, Shaz?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So once you're at, you can see it on the big screen up there. Once you're into the actual screen itself here, this is what's called the homepage, then you can see a number of different options at the top there. And once when you want to watch the actual lesson itself, then you will click on where it says live session. Once you click on the live session, you'll then see that you've got the video which is coming up, and this will be playing, okay? And then at the same time, you'll see the comments which are on the side, and you have these tabs. And if you look at these tabs, just here, okay, you'll see that you can select the Arabic and you can select the English to display at the same time. And in this corner here, you can write your notes. And all of that is saved for you automatically. Whenever you go back, you'll find it there. So for example, if I click on a Sheikh Mumtaz, which I have, then the Arabic is now displayed. And if I click on this here, then the text in English, which is the translation, which is the Arabic followed by the English translation, is displayed. And for those who want to go back, and this is the great thing about this, is if we go back up here and we go to resources, which is at the top there, which is resources, okay, then you'll be able to find all of the last 3 years of lessons, all of the videos, all of every single lesson video is there, every single lesson's audio is there. And also, if you don't have the time to watch it all, then you have revision notes and slides that have been done at the bottom, at the end of each year. Likewise, you have access to all of the written notes which are transcribed, meaning every single thing that was said with all of the references that I use is there by the transcribing team. So I just want you to know that there is an incredible amount of effort and a huge group of volunteers that service this this entire project. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. I'd like to say that I want to thank for, to go on the record and thank the brothers and sisters from Prophetic Guidance, who you see physically here, setting up the physical kind of setup on site. And then those that you don't see who are setting up the online system, which is a great task, and there are many of them. And then of course the transcribing team, which is its own like 6-7 member team, which every single week they coordinate with one another to take portions of the video and write and research and weed out mistakes and errors and so on and so forth. And that's awesome. I'd like to thank Al-Maghrib Institute, which has put all of its computing power and its resources behind it. And of course, Chidu Masjid as well, which has always supported us by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always supported us from the very beginning and allowed us to spread this blessing of sacred knowledge in Cheadle in South Manchester to the masses, alhamdulillah. So I want to just now just give a introduction to Salah itself. Now, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, in his commentary when it comes to this, he doesn't actually go into too much detail with respect to the prayer. Because like I said, the book, a scholar, when he's teaching law, he's not meant to be taking on the added burden of reminding the people, if that makes sense. That's the job of the khatib, you know? I mean, if you look and reflect upon why so many of us get upset, at the khatibs that do Jum'ah, and why we don't like going to Jum'ah khutbah, because the quality of the khutbah is so poor, you'll only really understand it when you study the deen. When you actually study the religion, and from its sources, you'll recognize that, you know, if you don't stick to your job, then everyone messes up. You see, the scholar of fiqh, he should stick to his job. It's nice that he says something which you think, oh wow, that's so interesting. You know, outside of the normal legal kind of mundaneness. That's nice, that's really interesting intellectual point. And sometimes he might throw in a point where, did you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this? And you feel like, you know, alhamdulillah, and you say subhanAllah. But his job is not there to make you cry and to make you, yani, you know, want to really kind of, you know, go and pray. And, oh, I did today, the first lesson, we covered the word salah and all its meanings. Now I really want to pray. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. Because the first entire two pages of all the different commentaries of this particular commentary just starts off by defining the word salah, which couldn't get more dry and legal, to be honest. Okay? So that's not going to be the thing which is going to wake you up and revive your iman. That's the job of the wa'ad, yani the wa'idh, the one who reminds, the one who gives wa'ad, okay? The one who admonishes, gives admonition. That's his job. That's the khatib's job. That's the poet's job. That's the storyteller's job, to say these kind of things in a very kind of, you know, nice and chilled way to make your heart soft. And that's why we get so disappointed when we go to Jummah Khutbah and it's basically a news broadcast, okay? It's just another political broadcast at by so-and-so party, or it's the news at 10, and it's just basically a discussion of the politics of the world and what everyone has, you know, done wrong and why you're going to hell and all the rest of it, you know? The idea is, and this is very important, that people often miss, and anyone who wants to study this properly, you'd look at Ibn al-Qayyim, and that's probably the best analysis of the Jummah khutbah that's possible in Zad al-Ma'ad, how he described the khutbah of the Prophet. You know that the Prophet once stood on the member, and what he did, he said, Bismillah alhamdulillah, as-salatu wa-salam al-rasulillah, and he recited Surah al-Qaf, and that's it, in two portions, and then he started the prayer. That was the khutbah, the recitation of Surah al-Qaf. Because the khutbah is meant to be a reminder. Now obviously that wouldn't work today because people wouldn't understand what it meant, okay? Which wouldn't be much difference to most of us when we go to our khutbahs anyway. But, yani, still, you get the point that the people understood the Arabic and they took upon the lesson and that's it. And qaf, as you know, is the perfect khutbah material. It is that which reminds us of who we are. It reminds us of the folly of this dunya. It reminds us of the danger of sin. And it also reminds us of the excellence and the beauty of paradise. And so it's everything. It's the whole circle, the full shabam. And you know what? That's what people need. You see, the Jummah khutbah is the only what's agreed upon amongst the scholars. And we're going to be covering all of this in a lot of detail. It's the only super clear obligation that they agree upon that you have to go to the masjid for. I want you to think about that statement. So when it comes to the obligatory prayers, like, you know, Fajr and Dhuhr and Maghrib and Asr, Maghrib, Isha, these are obligatory prayers. But the scholars differed over whether it is obligatory to pray them in the masjid. They differed over that, okay? And we'll cover that obviously in its right time and place. And when it comes to the Salatul Janazah, which is often prayed in the masjid but sometimes prayed outside, they differed over whether it is an absolute obligation or something less than that. And when it came to the Eid prayer and whether that's prayed in the masjid or outside, they differed over whether it's obligatory to pray that or something less than that. Okay, three positions, Sunnah Mu'akkada or something which is wajib at the level of just a few people or obligatory upon every single person. But the one obligatory prayer which they never differed over was the Jum'ah prayer. They all agree that it is an absolute individual obligation upon every able male. The women not included, children not included, and travelers not included. And the idea behind that, and I want you to think about this, the traveler not included. The Prophet ﷺ never praised travel. Never praised travel. And often when you think about this, the traveler is the one who doesn't get to pray Jum'ah. Okay? And you might think that's a great concession, all right? It's brilliant. For me, it's a wonderful to be traveling because the Jummah khutbah is so poor, I'd rather be traveling and hear no khutbah, okay? But imagine that the khutbahs were great And imagine that the khutbas did actually remind you of Allah. Then if you're traveling and you keep telling yourself, it's not obligatory upon me, it's not something I need to do, then you remain in that state where a whole week has gone past, where you haven't been obliged to go to the masjid, and you are by yourself often when you're traveling. And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the traveling is a portion of punishment. And a lot of people focus on the physical reality of the fact that it's a portion of punishment. You know, back in the day, it was really tough, walking massive distances, riding massive distances and getting nowhere. And people think that today with, you know, cars and motorways and smooth roads and airlines and first class and business class and God knows what, that somehow that's changed. It hasn't. Because the second you leave home and you are traveling, the punishment starts. Being away from your family, the punishment starts. Being away from your wife, the punishment starts. Being away from your bed, the punishment starts. Being away from your food, punishment starts. So there is a physical punishment and a reality which many people comprehend. What people often miss is that once you're a traveler, there are other certain realities that will affect your spirituality or your ability to be revived in terms of your heart. And that Jummah khutbah is the key thing which is missing. So I want you to know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliged every single person other than traveler, to go to the masjid to listen to this khutbah, and then on top of that, the threat upon those people to say anything, and not only to say anything or to speak out of line, but even to stop someone else saying something. So someone else is speaking, you turn around, whatever. Meaning that not only do you have to go, but you have to completely focus on this message, because this guy is going to really save your week. That's what Allah is saying. This guy that you're sitting in front now, on this moment, at this one day of the week, the best day of the week, I have made obligatory upon you, and you're going to go, because you know what? I've told you a lot of things throughout the week that you're going to be doing, but you're going to be up, down, but this one you've got to really, really deal with. You've got to be there. And then this khatib, his job is to think like this person who has probably not been to the masjid all week, who's working all this time. His prayer probably, either he's not praying or he's praying at home, quick little jobs. If he's praying fajr, we say alhamdulillah. But if he is praying fajr, he's probably not praying in a masjid. And we know what kind of fajr that is. That's the fajr where you choose the shortest route to the bathroom and you choose the shortest route back and you pray as close to your bed and the dhikr happens back in bed under the duvet. It's a prayer which is done half conscious, don't know what's going on, no sunnah of any kind of nature whatsoever of going out and waking up and using the fresh air to wake up, walking to the masjid, praying in the masjid, whatever. That's a big, huge sacrifice. Let's actually get back to the actual prayer itself. If he is praying, the quality is poor. He's not yani read the Quran or seen the Muslims or spent time with good company. And so therefore, genuinely, other than just the rhetoric, okay, it's not just a cliche, this Jum'ah is a jump start of his heart battery. That's exactly what it's meant to be. So this person, when he hears that khutbah and that reminder, the salah which comes after it is meant to be the greatest prayer of his week. And you know why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that it is from the fiqh and the knowledge of a person, meaning the khatib, who makes the khutbah short and the prayer long. Meaning the focus is not the actual khutbah, it's the prayer. Meaning the khutbah is not meant to be a 1 hour presentation upon the state of the Muslims, or a half an hour presentation about the analysis of what's going on in Egypt, or whatever. A reminder to make dua and to make people responsible for what's going on is obvious and should be done. But the idea there is to remind people that, you know what, whatever you're doing in this week, if you have not been part of the masjid and the community and the deen and the salah and the jama'ah, then you really need to get back to it, because you are on the edge. And here's something for you to remind you of Allah. And they're told about Jannah, and they're warned about Jahannam, and they enter that prayer, and it's a long, elongated prayer, a slow one, where you actually live your deen, where you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the power of salah. That is the power of salah. The surahs that we know from the sunnah that were recited in Jum'ah are those which are 10 times the length of the surahs that we see recited today. Because people overstep their talking in the khutbah, and then because there's 2 minutes left and everyone's absolutely getting freaking out because they get to go back to work, it's قُلْ وَلَا أَحَدْ وَالْعَصْرِ, and then out of the door, and that's it. And so I want you to know that our lack of understanding of our roles is essential to understand what kind of mess we are in general. And so when you see a scholar and he's doing what he's meant to do, understand what his actual role is. Hold people accountable to their roles. And so having said that, I am giving you from myself some of my experiences that I want to share with you of just how important the prayer is. Because as I tell everyone, I teach Fiqh al-Salah at the Divine Link, meaning the Al-Maghrib weekend course. I say if there's one thing that needs absolutely no trailers and no promos and no rhetoric to sell and no emotional kind of whatever, It's the prayer. Because the prayer sells itself so well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the prayer so well. The Prophet says, like he deserves, not like he needs, like he deserves. The one who is negligent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will never be able to fulfill the rights of any of the creation. Whoever is not showing khair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is not showing generosity,